Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast, where today I'm interviewing a real-life hitman, except for on the internet, because I couldn't meet him due to the fact that maybe I was scared about being killed, and also it was actually quite hard to get hold of him, and I have completely failed to get hold of him since the conversation that I had with him online. But yeah, I still have the transcript, and so we're going to read that out today and go through me to be talking to a hitman and trying to not sound too scared for my life when actually I was a little slightly terrified. So I have my friend Andreas pretending to be a hitman who's going to read all of his side of it.
He traveled with me around the world last year and was with me the whole time during this interview with the hitman, so it is only appropriate that he is the one to complete this podcast with me. Also, he handily has a very slightly computer-like voice, and I often tell him he sounds a bit like Stephen Hawking, so we don't actually need to apply any voice effects to him, which is fabulous. So the first 30 seconds of the interview, we do take a while to warm up, and there's quite a few fluff-ups. But after that, the process of reading to each other goes wonderfully. And in general, I just really hope you enjoy this crazy, insightful interview into the world of hitmen, and just be prepared to have everything you know about the world change, because there's some truly astounding revelations inside. Hey, are you a friend?
I know him. He was in Armillaria Net a while back.
Cool.
So you interview people?
So we deleted the next line because I need to do that for certain reasons, but we'll move on to the line afterwards, which is
the world is a messy place, lad. On Armil
on Armillaria.
On Armillaria we talk about Drax a lot, kind of why I'm here, kind of why I'm where I'm at right now.
Yeah, sounds like he ended up in some dark places. So you run most of your life on dark side of things, or you have a legit normal life as well going on? Actually, don't tell me anything about a real life if you have one.
I'm sure I told you. I do drugs and I'm a hitman.
Actually, he didn't mention the drugs.
They go hand in hand. See if someone fucks around with others or payment, they get a bullet in their head.
Wow, that's mental. I hope you give a few moments to think about things first before the bullet in the head. Like, it's not much going back from that.
I left the US 4 years ago to come to India. Strange, I know. But how I got into it was a life or death situation. I was excited to deal on the dark web. The guy I trusted started stealing thousands of dollars. I had a choice. Put a bullet in his head or I get one.
Wow, I have so many questions. I don't know where to start. So that was like back on the Silk Road?
No, this wasn't Silk Road, but I've met a guy that was a hitman for them.
Oh, crazy times.
After that moment, I couldn't go back. I was made into a hitman. If I didn't do a hit, they would pay the next guy a little more to hit me too.
Okay, so I guess you didn't ever expect to end up as a hitman. Would you say you're kind of unhappy as a hitman then?
I would not say that I'm unhappy.
Okay, well that's good, but it's not your preferred choice of work.
If someone put a gun to your head and told you to hit some stranger, and after you get $1,000.
Well, I'd feel a little shortchanged, like, but I guess first I would probably kill the person before thinking about the money.
Your life is better than a few extra zeros.
Yeah, true. So is that like the average hit price, or just they had you in a tight place and so they gave you $1,000?
Most of the hits go for around $1,000. There are at least 200 hitmen around.
Holy shit, that's like nothing. How is a human life so cheap? Like, a funeral is more than £1,000. A psychiatrist bill is more than £1,000.
After one hit, you don't feel anything. You feel dead inside.
Ouch. So you felt that way since your first hit?
It was harder with him because I knew him. It haunts me. I still see his face every day.
Oh man. How come you were asked to hit him? Like, naturally, I want to know everything about how this happened, but if it's uncomfortable to talk about, don't worry. Also, don't mention anything specific, of course.
So he started stealing money from some Indian drug lords. Our job was to transport drugs and get the cash. He started to steal the money. The drug lords found out and beat us up. He confessed, and when he did, one of the six other guys gave me a gun, and I was told to put one in between his eyes, or we both die. It was so they could make me scared and listen to them.
Wow. That's intense. I hope you don't feel responsible. He shouldn't have risked it. And of course, they shouldn't have wanted him killed. So it's not really your fault.
He even told me to pull the trigger. He looked me in the eyes and said, "We will both die if I don't." Those words and his face haunt me. But the other people I hit was easy. I don't know them.
Wow, the brain is weird. So are they still your employer, or do you work freelance now?
I work for them still. It's good pay, I get to party hard, and if I leave, they will kill me.
Well, as long as you're still enjoying the partying, I guess that's all right. I totally can't deal with hangovers anymore, and I'm not even 30.
So I've told you a bit about me. What about you? So do you interview hackers and hitmen?
part?
Well, I do now. Actually, technically, the first person I interviewed was the CEO of an Uber for prostitutes app that me and my friend were kind of doing the same style business, and I wanted to know more about it. But then I realized that I just really liked interviewing people. But yeah, up to now, mostly CEOs and nomads and scientists and yoga gurus and cool stuff. But my mum was the first one.
How do you interview them?
Well, normally we sit in the room together and record an audio chat for a podcast. But I'm actually going to India next month if you want to meet in a random location that is in no way related to where you live. But also just text interview is more than interesting enough.
Is this podcast online?
I'm going to North Korea actually in 2 weeks to do some interviews there. But yes, the podcast is online.
We can meet. Location will have to be in a moving car, in a busy area.
Well, I'm visiting Bangalore and New Delhi, but I was thinking maybe I could just write a blog or find a friend to read out your side of the chat transcript and release it as a podcast, because that would still be awesome.
What is your podcast?
GrowthMindsetPodcast.com. I have no interest in publishing anything you don't want me to, and you know who I am now, so yeah, totally up to you.
I will be in touch.
And at this point, he goes offline. And yeah, this leaves me with the slightly creepy I will be in touch message. And I just sort of sit there being like, I'm being researched and perhaps something bad's going to happen. And it was all a little bit scary. And then Andreas, who is kindly playing the part of the hitman, basically hugged me for about 20 minutes and wouldn't let me go and be like, bro, you're going to die. Bro. And it was like, Andreas, you could let me go now. I was kind of feeling quite cool about myself interviewing a hitman, and it sort of ruining my cred. This is not what I imagined. I was all like, I'm in the MI6. I'm going to be going to Bangalore and like interviewing crazy people in their cars. And instead I'm being hugged by a gay German being told I'm going to die. And blah, blah, blah. But anyway, that all worked itself out after 20 minutes when the man came back online and we started talking further about the lives and adventures of a hitman. The man's profile appears back online in our anonymous chat room.
Had to put a face to your name and also wanted to see if you were fat. You there? Oh, you are there? Or am I just typing to no one? Sam?
Nope, crap. Sorry. I thought you'd logged out. My bad. Yeah, an ops interface thing is still a bit new to me. But anyway, I guess you now know who I am.
When do you get to India?
April. So that's a while away.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so I guess I'd like to know a bit more about how secure this is to meet. Otherwise, maybe just an anonymous audio chat is fine.
I picked a moving car in case you try something. If you bring me to a room, it could also be wired.
I guess that works for your side, but equally, I need to know that you're completely safe and that you never get discovered for having an interview with me. Is maybe we both get killed and your employer sounds pretty mental. So what if they were watching you?
They can't.
Okay, I guess I don't want to ever know anything about them or you in terms of specifics, but still, how would they know you didn't say something you shouldn't have? Like, can you explain the process a bit more, or how they just can't like be in on the details and to help put my mind at rest?
We are talking on IRC. It's only us in this room.
Yeah, but I mean, if they ever have they ever followed you in real life?
They would only do that if they're having bad thoughts, and so far so good.
Okay, well, I don't want to be another person that you end up having to put a bullet in their head. Is there any way I can protect myself further without giving any risk to you?
Worst cases, we are driving and someone tries a drive-by. I can say I'm meeting with a friend and they will believe me.
Okay. And the normal people they kill are generally Indian drug related people, or have they killed tourists before?
Could be anything. I don't know details.
If you're cool with things, we can keep talking and work out general things that are safe and not safe to mention and work out the best plan for a potential meeting then. I did work in the BBC for a while, so was going to get some advice on that anyway. And we'll ask if they have any tips on the interviewee and interviewer so that we can both stay safe.
We could do that. If I give you a location of a hit, you should go near it. But stay away from people, because bullets can fly. Have your camera ready.
Okay. I mean, map it stay pretty underground. But what happens if I get an image of you, though?
No. We meet in a moving car, and I'm wearing a motorbike helmet.
Okay.
If you see my face, what's going to stop you from telling anyone?
Well, the fact you could kill me is a pretty strong deterrent, but I'd rather just not see your face.
I was meaning after the meet.
Ah. Have you ever told your story before?
Yeah. I've told my stories on IRC before. There are a lot hitmen like me. Worse, people who also do it People also do it for fun. It can be almost like a high.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine it feels pretty amazing in some way, looking at people and knowing that you could just kill them, I guess.
It's crazy. Your finger just needs to move a few centimeters and someone is dead.
Crikey, that's weird. Have you ever killed someone you weren't contracted to kill?
Yes, I have. Sometimes, if they are also in crowded areas, they duck with everyone else. Some people are unlucky to catch a bullet.
Shit. Have many people ever managed to get away from your employers after they've decided to order a hit on them?
Do you mean escape a hit?
Yes.
If someone is willing to pay, they will always find the person.
That's creepy. So basically, don't piss them off, end of story, which is fine by me, by the way.
People get hit for cheating on partners. Hitman prices are about $1,000 to $10,000. They are over 400 hitmen.
Jeez. I thought hitmen would be paid like 100K to like a million and be flying on jets around the world with hidden identities. So I guess I was pretty wrong. All hits usually within the country that you're in?
High-profile people cost $50,000 to $100,000. I do it here.
Has anyone ever asked you to kill Donald Trump?
No.
Oh, I'm surprised. I know some friends who are convinced he'll be assassinated before his end of his first term. What do you think the price would be for him?
His suit is also bulletproof, and his tie. A price like that would be in the million.
Yeah, I figured.
I am delighted to recommend my sponsor, Cozy Earth, whose bedding and loungewear I genuinely love. It's made from high-quality viscose from bamboo, and it gets softer with every wash. It was voted as Oprah's favorite things several years in a row, and it's because their bed sheets are so damn incredible. Their collection also includes some divine loungewear for your home or travel. They have cute little tote bags to carry your gear anywhere, so whether you are exploring through a journey of personal growth or discovering new parts of the world, you can nestle up under starry skies with the softness of Cozy Earth's loungewear. So pack your bags, venture on and visit cozyearth.com today and use code GROWTH at checkout for an exclusive 35% off. And let Cozy Earth be your travel companion on the road to adventurous growth. CozyEarth.com and use code GROWTH at checkout.
Okay, so don't disclose who or anything, but can you vaguely describe the most high-profile hit you've ever done?
Lawyers and judges.
Oh, shit. Yeah, messing with the law seems dangerous. Do you think you could do something like that sort of hit in a first world country like the US or Australia?
No, it would be a lot harder. But I do want to go to Australia, Gold Coast.
Okay, that's kind of reassuring to know that the whole world isn't still up for taking. But do you think your industry will die out in maybe 20 years' time as India, etc. joins the first world level of order?
Maybe. It's just a really messed up country.
Has it changed much whilst you've been there?
Only been here 4 years. Not much.
Fair. And did you want to go to the Gold Coast to work the same job or to live a chilled life?
Live the chilled life.
Nice. Think that they would ever let you go?
I know how to get hidden.
Yeah. My friend gave me some advice, by the way, that if you're ever asked to do a job that you don't want to do, you should just pretend that you want to do it, but be really shit at it. But I guess that more applies to like when your mum asks you to do the ironing or the cleaning or something and you just mess it up, but you look really keen and she stops asking you to do it. I'm not so sure that's good for hitmen. Can you explain the process of getting hidden?
No social media, no phone, no laptop or email, nothing tracking back to you online.
So you're not going to launch a podcast anytime soon then?
Can't do that.
Okay, so read the podcast though. Pretty sure it would be super fascinating to listen if you did. But yeah, having no laptop would suck and the future is only going to be more digital. So you wouldn't get like facial reconstruction or a new passport and stuff?
Wouldn't go that far. We will see. I know who you are. Not threatening you, by the way. Just meaning I could contact you to meet up again.
Ah, cool. Yeah, well, you can find my Twitter and Instagram and email on the podcast website. But not sure you'd ever want to link your personal life to me.
Of course.
But yeah, I figured I might as well trust you by giving you all those details and you know who I am. Otherwise, likely we wouldn't get very far in chatting. Do you have any kind of schedule or are things just random your end?
Stick to a schedule.
So do you guys have like a morning shift hitman and an evening shift hitman?
Oh, I thought you meant drugs. No, hitman isn't often.
Ah, right. Smooth. Yeah, good point. I did want to ask you how often you do a hit on average.
In 3 years, I had 14 hits.
Okay, so it's not like a super regular thing, but still quite a few. Were they sort of evenly spaced out, like one hit every 3 months, or kind of random, like three in 1 week, then none for the rest of the year?
It happens all the time here, so many killings. But with me, some were months apart, and I had two in 1 day.
Wow. I worked on oil rigs for a while. After about 8 days, I kind of forgot what real life was like. It was all a kind of strange headspace after a while. Do you sort of feel like you forgot what it's like to kill if you haven't killed someone in ages, or does it just never leave you?
It never leaves you. I have to go. I'll be on in a few hours.
Okay, well, I won't be online then, but I'll try and catch you soon.
Sadly, this is the end of the interview, and he never came back online, and I never was able to talk to him again. So the rest of this episode, we basically break down what happened in the conversation and our insights from it, and things like how did I get to be talking to a hitman, and insights into running a podcast and this sort of stuff.
So what would your top tips be from that episode as a hitman?
Well, one top tip would be like, be careful online and maybe don't share your personal details easily.
Yeah, perhaps that was just not quite needed straight away, but it seems to be all right. I would definitely say don't get caught up in drugs in India before you end up having to kill your friend.
Exactly.
That's really crazy.
And probably always paid.
Yeah, definitely someone asks you for some money. And they, if you bought some drugs or something, just give them the money. Oh, on unrelated note, like a week ago, some guy like came up to me super stressed out and like, give me a fiver. And he had like this big gash in his head. And like, I was like, whoa, go away. You're creeping me out. But somehow I kind of ended up talking to him and like calmed him down. And turns out I had like 5 minutes to pay some gangster that he hadn't paid enough money to. And I actually just gave him a fiver and was like, deal with your life. But yeah, some people are pretty horrible. And that was just in London.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was like stressing out. And like, I kind of tried to teach him some sales because he was just like doing it completely wrong. He's like, no one was going to give him any money. And I felt kind of sorry for him. So I was like, don't like creep people out and stress them when you're on the street. Just try and be a bit nicer and like, because no one's going to want to help you. And yeah, that was weird.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And a fiver doesn't seem like much money for whatever it was.
Yeah, life. Like, I mean, can't you just go and work for like half an hour somewhere? And yeah. Bro, did seem a bit odd, but yeah. Yeah, I thought he was like, I mean, I had nearly all the money, but just not quite, like a fiver's death. And so the guy just like beat the shit into me yesterday, and now he's going to kill me if I don't give him this fiver. I was like, whoa. And yeah, he literally sort of, as soon as I gave him the fiver, he got his friend like, I've got the fiver. And he's like, it's okay. And I was like, oh, wow, I think he was legit. Yeah.
Crap.
So that was my nice deed for the day. Anyway, back to other lessons for the podcast. Yes. Don't get into the world of hitman, and life is crazy cheap. Like $1,000 for one hit is nothing in India.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And even like and even lawyers and judges.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Sort of reminds you more of like where we came from when you like read books like Sapiens and stuff, of how humans sort of work and things. And like we have a society now like the UK and US where it's, well, the first world, where things are a bit more structured and stop you from doing that. But when left to our own devices, then people just kill each other and are pretty horrible, apparently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what happened when you were in India, but I was trying to get a train through one point, and like there was just mass riots in the town, and I couldn't do it. And there had people being shot and killed and stuff.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Luckily, I never experienced something like that. Yeah. Last train for India.
It's kind of weird. Any other top tips?
Yeah, maybe it's interesting, or maybe you can give some tips in how you actually get in contact with the hitman without revealing any details.
So I got in contact with them via an anonymous IRC chat room for people to hang out. And the specific one I was on was a chat room all about drugs. And that's, I guess, where he was talking about drugs and stuff on there. And it was just a weird corner of the dark web. And so I was on like tour in this weird area with my own anonymous chat, and no one really would speak to me, but I got introduced to him specifically by my friend. And that's how we ended up talking. But I haven't really done much else there because I haven't got any. You need to be like in the podcast before when I was talking to the hacker, you need to be in those networks for a while for people to trust you. So I can't really just go in and talk to anyone about anything. because they'll just sort of instantly not trust me. And if I sort of share the details of my website or something, then I'll probably just end up with like my website being taken down or something bad. So I don't really feel like going in just sort of recklessly. So maybe if I can build some reputation, I could find some more mental people. But I don't know. I remember when we recorded it feeling quite like I was on the dangerous side of a cliff. If maybe I couldn't get back kind of thing. So I was like, yeah, maybe I can't get back to the normal world if I go too far down this route. And it's sort of now after a few months, I sort of completely forgotten about that feeling. Yeah, but true. It is like tempting to, I would love to do more journalism in that area and do some crazy sort of interviews with awesome people. Because it's super fun and hopefully meet some people doing cool shit. Whereas in the US, I ended up staying a night in a house with a bunch of drug dealers by accident. And that was quite fun. I was trying to find an organic farm to work on. And I was in like the deep south of California.
Dead in regard then.
yeah. And like, so I knocked on these guys' doors trying to, I gave them the name of this farm. They had no idea what I was talking about, but it was like really late and I was lost. And they're like, oh, you just stay here the night. And then sort of later they got like put a ton of drugs. Like, oh, you don't just get high with us. I was like, okay, maybe. I mean, I was still like 19 and kind of getting high quite often at that point. And then some people came and then they bought drugs and they left. And I was like, oh, like, yeah, we're drug dealers. It's fine. But you shouldn't go anywhere else because it's super dangerous around here, man. Stay with us. It's fine. And yeah, basically they were just like, you have to stay the night because it's so dangerous here. I'm like, okay, this is sort of odd because you're like the dangerous people that I should be being protected from is what I'm normally told. But you seem really nice. And I'm sure anyone else I meet is probably really nice as well based on this assumption. But yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, woke up in the morning and the first thing they do was just like have a beer and have another joint. I was like, whoa, okay, I'm going to start driving. But I'm still friends with them on Facebook. They're nice guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
that's
so funny.
Oh, I just had a podcast.
Yeah, maybe, so much. Maybe you should.
Yeah, oh, it's a legend.
Nice.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, actually, how much people can get to know about you just over the internet. Like when they get your website, they can like check. I think they also get your address, right? Because of your domain.
Yeah.
And shit, all these things. So
yeah, it's kind of worrying. Yeah, the amount of data and trails that you have just around everything you do is kind of freaky.
Should we even mention that you can get your address like with your domain? Because on the podcast,
People want to send me some nice mail. I run a good postcard marketing system. If you want to send me a postcard, first one will be free. So that'd be fun for you. Postary.com, PostArY.com. Yeah. With the ease of sending an email, you can send me a postcard. So that's cool.
Yeah, but only postcards by a postery.
Yeah, obviously. Send me a real postcard, like handwritten. Jeez.
Who does that?
It takes too long.
Yeah. You always send postcards, though.
Yeah, but like over the whole year, I send like 20 postcards, which is quite a lot. It's good. But if I could send 20 postcards a month to all my friends at once. I have more than 20 friends, but like actually
I don't bother
to write like a personal message and like pay for and stuff. Because it just takes so long to like get all the postcards and write them a meaningful message.
Mm.
Well, it's a really nice process to do, but when you're trying to interview hitmen and do other things all at the same time, you know, you're pretty busy.
Yeah. How did you meet the guy who introduced you to that chat and the hitmen?
Yeah, so basically staying in a hostel and turns out this other guy in our room was we had this like really crappy internet network and you only had like 100 megabytes or something before you got kicked off, and you only had like 100 megabytes per night. But this guy was a hacker and he just sort of hacked onto the Wi-Fi so he could just get unlimited Wi-Fi. And he was just talking about that. And so I talked to him a bit more about the hacking and then found out that he'd done things like stealing Bitcoin and other stuff. And was like, holy crap. So first thing I did was shut my PC down and everything. And like, I didn't trust him at all. But I did ask to do a podcast with him. And then turns out, we then had the podcast that was on the show last week, and he was a really cool guy and nice to people and doesn't steal Bitcoin or anything so malicious anymore and doesn't ever do anything bad with people who vaguely know him at all as well. So that's makes it easier to trust him. Then, he showed me some other cool hacks and things after we did the podcast, and he introduced me to this hitman because you thought he'd be a really interesting person to interview, basically? Well, to answer the question, was just traveling through hostels and finding people that seemed to have any kind of something weird about them and getting to know them more, which is kind of how I've run the podcast, of just people that just seem to have something really different to anything I know about and just being nosy and asking to find more about them.
Yep.
Yeah, so we recorded this podcast in the hostel room as well. Well, recorded. I had this conversation in the hostel room after the hacker had left. And yeah, it was really late at night that he actually came online, which is why I said I wasn't going to be online when he came back, because yeah, I wasn't going to stay up until 4 a.m. Sorry, although the podcast would have been good. I just assumed I would have got to talk to him more. But yeah, it was really, really tense because we actually had to wait for him to type. He was quite slow at typing, and so I had to re-edit the transcript to make it sort of flow better, because if it's actually, you know how you have like those MSN chats or WhatsApps where everything's sort of like you have different conversations going on at the same time. But yeah, it was super tense because of obviously I've never spoken to a hitman before, and I'm just like, holy shit, this guy kills people for like $1,000, oh my god. And Jess was just sort of over my shoulder the whole time like, what the fuck, oh my god, I can't believe this is happening, wah. And then so it's us two like having like an existential sort of crisis in the middle of this room in the pitch black. And then there's this other like American dude half trying to sleep and then sometimes getting interested and being quite annoying. And it's pretty funny. Yeah. Not quite sure what he was doing, but yeah, he's a weird guy. He's the one that also was like, yeah, Bitcoin's going to be 100K easily next year. And obviously it's not 100K yet. Yeah, he was funny. Definitely not a good person for advice on
investment.
Yeah.
Probably not.
And yeah, he definitely gave Hacker quite a lot of advice on investment.
Yeah.
For some strange reason.
Yeah. It was a really tense atmosphere. And
definitely.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever sweated so much. Not helped by you hugging me for 20 minutes. Just like, bro, I'm so sweaty. Oh, God. Oh, this is disgusting.
Yeah, and then the American dude who was always asked like questions. What are like, you doing? What's happening?
Nothing.
Nothing. Just sleep.
Why are you hugging? Oh, yeah, well. You guys are right. I mean, yeah, we're fine.
Yeah.
Good times. It's a nice hostel. Yeah, it's weird that it's like, you know, I guess you only ever see like Jason Statham movies and you think like hitmen are like these crazy people that have got their life sorted and they're super rich and
yeah,
they kind of somehow chose to do that. Like they were born to do it or something and they fly on private jets. And he's like, oh, this was a complete fuck up. And I don't even get paid very much. And I live in India and I kind of party a bit or a lot. And you're like, wow, that is not at all what I had in my head as a hitman. And just how wrong the movies are is actually a really big insight, to be fair.
Absolutely. And also the story, like how he got into that.
Yeah, because it makes
pretty intense.
But it makes complete sense of how you get into being a hitman. Because like no one would choose to really do that. I mean, I guess maybe his actual employers would also perhaps have been hitmen themselves.
Maybe. It makes sense, actually, because otherwise, when you think about it, if like no one does it, then it wouldn't work, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. So someone's got to start, like, you fuck me over, I put a bullet in your head.
Yeah.
Or you become a hitman for me.
Yeah.
But either way, someone's got to do a hit.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. You think you thought about the psychology around it and you've watched all these movies and stuff and turns out they're all completely wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah, I heard that here first on the Growth Mindset podcast. Oh, yeah, it'd be so interesting to talk to this other, like, few hundred hitmen around the world and actually
make some statistics.
Yeah, like, yeah, get some real statistics and make, like, some real information about it. Because, I mean, so many crazy, like, stories you could write. And, yeah, it'd be so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, what I also find interesting is that, like, the fear of getting killed forces you to do things. Like, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's, like, nothing tangible in that sense. Like, you just know that these people might kill you. I mean, probably you can be certain, but, like, that's enough. Probably they don't even... Or didn't even... No.
I don't know. Pick a word and just say it.
They probably don't even need to pay your money, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that some people just like doing it. Yeah, it's another whole side. I would like to talk to some like serial killers and sort of go into a jail or something to see what the hell's going on in people's minds. Because, yeah, I just like psychology and understanding people better, I guess.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting to know what actually happened to them that they like, started doing that. Or I don't know. It's just like, I just can't conceptualize it.
I'd like to know more about like what his offer was originally to come and start dealing drugs and things and what he's doing before. But yeah, maybe I'll try and get in, talk to some more drug dealers and sort of go a bit higher up, because then obviously if they actually don't mind me talking about it, then that's okay. Whereas talking to him, I was a bit worried that they'd find out he was talking about it and then there'd be a problem. But if you go up right at the top, then it's sort of, it's fine.
Mm.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Just in, it's the same way when I'm trying to talk to a business or something. If I talk to like the reception or something and say, oh, I'd love to talk to your CEO, they're like, absolutely not. No, we're far too busy. Not at all. If I talk to the CEO, they're like, oh yeah, I'd love to do a podcast. That's great. Let's make some time in the calendar. It'll be great. Awesome. Awesome. I'm on a podcast. And you're like, oh, why are people not letting me
yeah.
talk to the important person? So yeah, it's funny.
Definitely.
So right. Maybe it's the same for drug dealers.
Yeah, maybe they like to tell their story.
Yeah, yeah.
The only scary part is that he mentioned that there are guys who actually like killing people. So
yeah, it's a problem.
That makes you an easy target then.
Mm. What would you do if I was stealing drugs and then you were told you had to kill me?
Wow. That is pretty hard. I mean, it's super hard to imagine how it would be in that situation. Obviously, everyone has like...
If you pretend this is a gun. And now you're pointing this gun at my forehead.
I would definitely pull the trigger, obviously. Yeah. Seeing your face is like...
Yeah, not happening. Oh, fuck, you're annoying.
Yeah. But no, it's a super intense experience. I can't even like imagine how it feels like to be to be forced to.
You know, like when you sort of like play fighting with someone and you get a little bit annoyed and you just kick them harder than you mean to or something.
Mm.
And then you're like, oh shit, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Because you like really hurt them.
Yeah.
And you can't get back and it feels bad. But like with a gun or a knife or something, it's just like, I don't know, I've never known like what it's like to really, really, really hurt or kill someone.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah.
Whew. That's pretty intense.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset Podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.
Hi, I'm Jessica Porter, and I'm a hypnotherapist, as well as a total relaxation nerd. If you're struggling to sleep at night, I'm here to help. Sleep Magic is my new podcast of relaxing hypnosis, created to help you doze off tonight. With my episodes every Wednesday, I'm going to make suggestions that help you relax really, really deeply. And hypnosis is not what you've seen on TV. There's no swinging pocket watch or clucking like a chicken. I promise. I'm just here to help you make friends with sleep again so you can get the rest you deserve. So search Sleep Magic on your favorite podcast app, and I'll see you there.